I am Timothy David Copney, and it's true that I am the oldest living black gay Jew in captivity. Still here. So I had decided to do this stoop storytelling thing, and I had a whole page of notes, and it was running about 16 to 20 minutes, and I thought, all right, well, hell with that. So I cut it down, and then listening to these wonderful stories, I thought, I don't want to talk about any of that shit. I mean, so let's just talk about the guys. I'll tell you about the guys. My first guy was 21. Well, a little background. I grew up in theater, in show business. I was a ballet dancer at 15. I did 3 national tours and a television series before I was 21. I had a pretty good career going, Ailey and conservatories and San Francisco Ballet and all that shit. But I was back at home in Cincinnati, 21 years old, and I was about to go back to New York, and I met this guy. And he reminded me of Johnny Carson. Remember him? Yeah. I was 21, he was 46. Had the silver hair and beautifully clothes and very fit and all of that. And so anyway, we met on a Sunday. We had lunch on Monday. I missed my flight. I moved in Tuesday. Wednesday, we went to Vegas for a week. We came back, and I stayed 7 years. But we had 2 very different relationships. I thought I had found this wonderful protector, secure, kind of not a father figure because the sex was great. Because otherwise that would have been really creepy. But as it turned out, he had a concubine. My job was to be beautifully dressed and to carry on conversations about classical things like music and ballet and art and go to the symphony and all that crap. But that's all I was supposed to do. He literally, I swear to God, said to me once, "Don't worry about things like business. Let me take care of that. Here, why don't you go to New York for the weekend and see some shows?" So, 7 years later, fast forward, he trades me in on a newer model because I was at the ripe old age of 28. But he did it. He did it very nicely, and it was a nice, smooth transition. And I went home to my mom for a few days, and my ex was a very wealthy person. And my mom was very cool, and she didn't say anything. She knew we had broken up, and she let it lay for a day or two. So we're sitting at breakfast at the breakfast table one morning, and she goes, "So, Timmy, what do you get?" I said, "What do you mean, Mom?" She goes, "Oh, well, you know, he's worth millions. I mean, surely he gave you something." I said, "No, that's..." It's the last thing I wanted. So she kind of huffs. Takes my breakfast plate away. And we had this kind of pass through from the kitchen to the dining room. She didn't say anything. And then I see her head pop through and she goes, "Well, shit, I'd have filled up a pillowcase with some of that silver if nothing else." First relationships. I moved to San Francisco and met an Icelandic Viking-looking god, 6'4", with shoulders like this. He cried a lot, but he was actually a very nice guy. This guy cried at the drop of a hat. I mean, like TV shows, Kleenex commercials, anything. And other than that, he was actually a very nice guy, and we lasted for several years. We lived in Iceland for a year. I got a job teaching for the Icelandic Ballet for a year while he was transitioning from undergrad school to grad school. Anyway, came back, and this is where it takes a little darker turn. I kind of fell down a drug rabbit hole and wallowed in that for way too long. He tried to save me. That wasn't working. He jumped in the hole with me until I threw us both out of that. He went back to Iceland, and I've never seen him since, and that was in 1991. I had still done theater. I had done theater. I'd done the West Coast premiere of Sophisticated Ladies when it left Broadway. And I did it in San Francisco. So I would work through that year, 89. I lost my brother. Then I lost my partner, my boyfriend. Ended up just kind of bouncing around for the next couple of years. Ended up in Montreal after my brother had passed away, and I went to Montreal and raised my niece with my sister-in-law, who had been my best friend, a nice Jewish household, and that was the beginning of my Jewish journey. Until Camellia graduated from high school and figured she could take care of her mother by herself. She didn't need me there anymore. And I moved to Baltimore because while I still had some demons to slay, I was hoping that I had put all those dragons to rest. I moved to Baltimore October 1st, 1998. I got off the train. I had been staying at my sister's in Kensington for a couple of nights. I left my stuff on hold at the train station. I started walking up Charles Street. I saw this guy. I'd never been to Baltimore in my life, didn't know a soul, had never been here. I wanted a brand new start. So I moved here. I got off the train, walked up the street, saw a guy who looked like he might know, and I said, "Excuse me, where is the gay area of Baltimore?" He said, "You in it, honey." Oh, good. Walked up the street. There was a restaurant called Gampy's. Anybody remember Gampy's? Yeah. They had a help wanted sign in the window. I went in. I got a job as a waiter. I sat down at a table, got the city paper, found a room for rent around the corner on Monument Street. That was my first day. Second day, and which brings us to the third and final chapter of the men in my life. Second day, I went to a bar called Leon's, which is most nights you'll find me there around cocktail hour. Come by, I'll buy you a beer, I promise. My second night, I'm a smallish guy, and I don't drink well. And I got shit-faced, basically. And I fell off my bar stool. Like right on the, like, I mean, we're like on the floor. Filthy floor at Leon's. And I looked up, and this very nice guy, whose feet I had fallen on, helped me up. Now, the guy was the first real guy I met in Baltimore my second day. We went out a couple of times. We moved in. I moved into his house about 3 or 4 weeks later. This was in November and right before Thanksgiving, because my life was a mess. I just had a lot of great successes along the way. You know, I did some great shows and made a little money and raised a kid and all of that. But basically, I was a mess. I never had a plan in my life. But when I met this guy, I knew that this was it. I was 42. So I told him, I said, "Look, this is how this is going to work. I'm 42, you're 53, neither of us needs a roommate." By then I had left Gampy's and was working as a proposal writer at T. Rowe Price. I said, "Neither of us needs a roommate. I don't want to live in your house." I'm pretty sure if I had a house, because I didn't have a pot to piss in at the time. He said, "But if I had a house, I'm pretty sure you would want to live in it. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to sell me half of your house and put my name on the mortgage. Then you're going to put a ring on this finger." I said, "In exchange for that, since I don't have anything to offer you, what I will tell you is that I will never leave you. You're either all in or everything is out." I said, "But no hurry, no pressure. You have until December 31st. Christmas night, he hadn't said a word other than, "Okay." Weeks went by. We never spoke of it again, but you know, my clock is ticking. Christmas night, there was a box under the Christmas tree that morning. And it was the most beautiful pair of sapphire earrings. So I was thinking, okay, so it's not a ring that I thought it was, but no problem. But we're slow dancing to the song "To Make You Feel My Love" that he'd given me the CD for Christmas. And we're dancing, and I feel him doing something with the fingers, and I look around, and he had put my wedding ring on this finger, And he just said, please stay. That was 25 Christmases ago. Stick around long enough, you get the really good stuff. This was my, my 25th anniversary present and sitting in a cafe in Paris last October 2nd. So it was a long journey. Along the way, I developed RA, rheumatoid arthritis, for which I've been chemo probably for the rest of my life. I had 8 surgeries and 3 transplants on my right leg and ankle. And it has not knocked me down. I still direct and choreograph. I can dance if I really have to. I don't want to. And I decided this year, having the last 4 years finished my transition, my conversion into Judaism, which is why I wear a yarmulke every day. Thank you. I have some Jewish friends here. I just got appointed to the board of directors of Bolton Street Synagogue. So I love my husband, I love my dog, I love my Judaism, and as if that weren't enough, I decided this year to finally finish my degree. So I have 2 more classes, which is why my eyes are crossed, because I'm cramming for finals tomorrow. But I have 1 more class in religion after that, and then technically I'm done, and I will march across that stage December 13th this year, exactly 50 years since I finished high school.